In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Great King over all the earth.
O God, whose never-failing providence orders all things both in heaven and earth, we humbly implore you to put away from us all hurtful things and to give us those things that are profitable for us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the seventh Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 2. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is the Pishon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Dilion and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord.
Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 6. I am speaking in human terms, because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at the time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the confession.
Compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away. And his disciples answered him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" And he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, "Seven." And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, seven baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people. And he sent them away. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It is a mistake to think about paradise as being a place where no work is to be done, as if it would just be heavenly bliss to, say, sit on a beach and sip piña coladas and soak up the sun forever. That's not called paradise. That's called vacation. Even in the paradise of Eden, our Lord God put Adam in the garden to work it and keep it. He had a job, a duty to perform. He didn't just lie in a hammock all day long. He worked in and kept the garden the Lord had given him. Of course, the nature of this working and keeping of the garden that Adam performed in paradise was nothing like the work we have come to know and abhor in this sinful world. It was pleasurable, fulfilling work that Adam did. Work that produced no sweat from his brow, no backaches or cuts or bruises or sore arms and legs. Adam worked not for his food or shelter or well-being. All of that was freely provided by his Lord. He worked simply for the pleasure of working, tending to the gifts the Lord had given him and keeping those gifts out of loving obedience and thankfulness to his God. But as we know, all of that changed when Adam took the forbidden fruit from his wife's hand and ate it. Sin was ushered into the world now. No longer was the work Adam did pleasurable. Now it was hard. The earth didn't cooperate like it once did. It now produced thorns and thistles and weeds. Working in and keeping a garden in this sin-corrupted world is now hard work. Now, Adam would have to work and contend with an uncooperative earth to feed himself and his family, to provide shelter and protection from the elements and animals and eventually other men who would seek to do him and his family harm. And so it is with all of us conceived and born into this dead and dying world as sinful descendants of our first parents. As long as we walk upon this sin-corrupted earth in our sinful dying bodies, we must work for our food and eat by the sweat of our brow, bearing the heat and the misery of the day. Which is probably why we daydream about paradise being a place where there is no work. But it is not work we hate. It is the necessity and difficulty of having to work to survive that we detest. While that necessity exists in this fallen world, it does not exist in paradise. That's the difference. And in paradise is exactly where these 4,000 people we hear about in the Holy Gospel found themselves that one fateful weekend. They got lost in the paradise of being with Jesus, the same Lord God who had walked with Adam in the garden in the cool of the day. They were so enraptured by being with him that they had forgotten all about the necessity of having to work for their food. They followed Jesus without plan or supplies for 3 days. Then they found themselves suddenly awakened from their spiritual revelry, hungry, and having gone too far to turn back, with no place to buy or even steal food. What would they do? They were in a desolate place with nowhere to work for their food and no place to purchase bread from the fruits of their labors. But they are with Jesus. They are in paradise. He has compassion on them. He will provide. In paradise, men eat bread not by the sweat of their own brows, but by the sweat of Jesus' brow. The disciples ask, how can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? I imagine Jesus letting out a big sigh and saying, oy vey, upon hearing his disciples ask this question. Just weeks before, you got to get this, just weeks before, they witnessed Jesus multiply loaves and fish for 5,000 men plus women and children. And these very disciples were the stewards who set that bread and fish before the people and gathered them up, all the leftovers in baskets. They just witnessed this great miracle. Have they forgotten so quickly? Do they really wonder whether Jesus can handle feeding this crowd, which is much smaller than the crowd he just fed weeks before? Actually, I don't think that's the case at all. Rather, I think there is contempt in their question. The feeding of the 5,000 just weeks before was well within the confines of Israel, and the great crowd there consisted almost all of Jews. But here they are outside the confines of Israel in a Gentile place, and this crowd, these people, are mostly Gentiles. In other words, I think the disciples ask our Lord this question because these people are not their people, and this desolate place is not their Israel. They have yet to grasp the reality that our Lord Jesus Christ came not just to save the Jews, but to save all people. Indeed, this is why there are two accounts in the Gospels of Jesus miraculously feeding the multitudes, to teach us that he has come to save all people, not just the Jews, even the Gentiles. This is also why the numbers in these accounts are different. The numbers are significant. They are not coincidental or accidental. Nothing is coincidental or accidental with our Lord. The feeding of the 5,000 Jewish men plus women and children echoes the five books of Moses, while the feeding of the 4,000 Gentiles in our account today symbolizes the four corners of the earth from which come all the Gentiles, all people. In the feeding of the 5,000 Jews, there are 12 baskets left over, one for each Jewish tribe. But here, in the feeding of the 4,000, there are 7 baskets left over, symbolizing the 7 Gentile nations that surrounded Israel. All of this is significant. And we learn this even more so just a few verses later in this same chapter of Mark, after a short altercation with the Pharisees, which prompts Jesus and his disciples to get in a boat and depart from them, we read this. Now the disciples had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And Jesus cautioned them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? When I broke the five, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" They said to him, 12. "And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" In other words, don't you guys get it? What Jesus is teaching his disciples and us is that in his kingdom, in paradise, he provides the bread. In fact, he is the bread. And he is the bread of life for all sinners who feast upon him, Jew and Gentile alike. For he came and lived and died for all people. He mentions here the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod to drive home his point that he is the Savior for all sinners. The leaven of the Pharisees was self-righteousness, which was the particular vice of the Jews in general. As you know, the Pharisees taught that you can earn your way into heaven by keeping God's law. They applied the kind of work we do in this sinful world to the work that is done in paradise, which, although they wouldn't admit it, is Christ's kingdom. But remember, in paradise, the work done by our Lord's people is not to earn or merit anything from our Lord. In paradise, he provides all that the people need. The work they do is pleasurable and motivated by their love of their Lord, who gives them all things. The leaven of Herod was worldliness and lawlessness, living only for self and for pleasure, as if there was no God at all. This was the particular vice of the Gentiles, and can be summed up with the old adage, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for today we live, but tomorrow we die." I think this is the motto of our current American culture. They saw paradise as being a place where no work is to be done, a place where everything that gives them pleasure is provided for them, a place where they could satisfy their every sinful desire to the full while sitting on their duffs, sipping tasty beverages. Herod is used here by our Lord as an example of this sort of leaven, for he sat on his plush throne and commanded that his every sinful desire be fulfilled as if he were God himself. But again, remember, in paradise, in our Lord Christ's kingdom, his people work. They don't lie in hammocks or sit on puffy clouds and play harps for eternity, as many people falsely believe. They work in and keep the land their Lord has given them. Our Lord's disciples didn't understand all of this at the time, but they do now. They came to learn that the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, was for all people, not just the Jews. They came to learn that the paradise of Christ's kingdom is not something that can be earned or merited by works, as the Pharisees taught, nor is it something that frees sinners to indulge all their sinful desires and be freed from any sense of responsibility or obligation. The paradise of Christ's kingdom is a place where sinners have been reconciled to God through the perfect life and sacrificial death of Jesus, where the perfect relationship that once existed between God and Adam is restored through the work of the second Adam, Jesus, whose life-giving cross has become the tree of life for all who are called to faith in him, Jews and Gentiles alike. Having heard all that, you must admit that to one degree or another, you have consumed the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod, sinners that you are. It is hard for sinners who live in a world where bread is eaten by the sweat of their brows to grasp the gospel, where bread is provided free of charge, with no effort at all needed from you. It is also difficult for sinners to imagine paradise as being a place where they will work not to eat or provide shelter or anything else, but purely out of pleasure and love, since their only concept of work comes from the sinful world in which they live. Repent. The leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod, the leaven of self-righteousness and of lawlessness, are both to be avoided, are both to be confessed and laid at the foot of Christ's cross. Dear friends, our Lord's kingdom is not of this world. It does not operate based on the world's principles. It does not follow the philosophy of the Pharisees or the Herods. He has compassion on the crowd, upon all people, upon you, because they cannot provide for themselves the bread that gives true life and eternal sustenance. So he comes down from heaven in the flesh of man, conceived in St. Mary's womb, and hidden in earthly bread and wine for men to eat and to drink and to be free of hunger and death. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the whole world, to all sinners who repent and turn to him in faith, regardless of ethnicity or nationality. Come then, O sinners redeemed by Christ the crucified, for here you are given a foretaste of the feast to come. Here you are given a glimpse of the paradise that awaits you, for here is given you bread that comes not by the sweat of your brow and toil, but by grace, for free, without effort. Here you receive the miraculous multiplication of Christ's very body and blood for you to eat and to drink for your forgiveness, life, and salvation. Here you are strengthened and preserved in the faith, not to leave here and go the way of Herod, satisfying your every sinful desire, but to live for and serve God by living for and serving your neighbors. Like Adam in the Garden of Eden, you leave here to work in your Lord's vineyard. And that work is not burdensome or difficult. It is not to merit anything, but it is pleasurable and easy and out of love for your Lord. And for that work is simply to love and to give and to help others, to do unto others as you would have others do unto you. You do that work not to merit a single thing from your Lord, for he provides you with all that you need for eternal life. But you do that work prompted by the Holy Spirit, led by him to do it, out of loving obedience and thankfulness to Jesus, whose brow produced bloody sweat and endured a crown of thorns, and whose hands, feet, and side were pierced, all to win your salvation. Come, the fruits from that tree of life are yours. Taste and see that the Lord is good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their lives. Merciful Father, you have forgiven our great debt and pardoned all our sins, though we are wretched, miserable, and undeserving of such forgiveness. Grant that we too may readily forgive our brothers and sisters when they sin against us. Soften our hard hearts, which are so inclined to hold a grudge, and grant that we would show others the same mercy that you have freely shown us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Steadfast God, your word stands firm, and amid the constant changes of this world, you do not change. Grant to all who are experiencing change or uncertainty in their lives the assurance that their Heavenly Father will never abandon them. Grant them the peace that comes with the knowledge that their salvation in Christ is secure. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving Father, you create and sustain saving faith in your people through your holy word and sacraments. Bless the men you have called and ordained to deliver these means of grace in your holy church, especially Matthew, our synodical president, David, our district president, Michael, our circuit counselor, Thomas, our pastor, and all pastors in Christ, that the pure gospel might go forth from them to the eternal benefit of all who receive it. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of all wisdom, grant your grace to the pastors and lay delegates participating in the Synod Convention this next week. As they gather to vote and make decisions for the good of our church body, grant that they would conduct themselves in Christian love and remain faithful to your word. Keep your watchful eye upon them and grant them safe travels to and from the convention, that they may continue their loving service to your church in our various congregations. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, in this sin-infected world, our bodies age and become frail, yet you continue to care for us and sustain us. Grant the elderly, those who reside in nursing homes, and all whose health is declining the assurance that their life is a gift from you, and that they are valuable because they are your creation. Be with all who are suffering in any way, who are sick or recovering from surgeries or treatments. Especially we pray for those who have requested our prayers, including Joan Birch, Vivian Strom, Marlene Wiltshire, Dick Weiser, Bill Harmon, Dick Kohler, Joyce Kohler, Ella Shaw, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Shirley Curry, Scott McCollum, Landon Culk, Fred Glazer, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd and Lyle Duby, James Whiting, Maxine Culk, Phil Warsop, Lee G, Sherry Shaw, Joseph Tolk, Samantha Tolk, Elaine Wood, Pastor Dan Chambers, G.N. Weiser, Dan Freed, Rosemary Reichart, Joanne Johnson, Sally Messer, and Helen Hyman. Heal their bodies according to your will. In the midst of their ailments, give them the peace that is found only in the forgiveness secured for us by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O God, you provide food to nourish both body and soul. Grant that we would eagerly desire to receive the nourishing gift of your Son's very body and blood in this Holy Communion. Grant that we would receive it worthily, recognizing our great need as sinners and trusting that it is given to us for our forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
All these things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, by whose blood we, together with all your faithful departed, are cleansed and made righteous in your sight. Hear us for his sake, who lives and reigns together with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Thank you. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Body of Christ given for me. The very 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 body of Christ given for you. 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 Very body of Christ given for you. The 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 very body of Christ given for you.
Thank you.
this holy and precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.